From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich remain in Florida this weekend as they look ahead to Tuesday's GOP presidential primary. The two are courting voters and both have campaign events scheduled this weekend. Two Democratic senators, meanwhile, are criticizing Florida voting laws they say make it more difficult for many legitimate voters to cast ballots. NPR's Pam Fessler reports the criticism came at a hearing in Tampa just a few days before the primary.
Florida is one of many states with new voting requirements that critics say will suppress the vote, especially among minorities, students, and the poor. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is chairman of the Judiciary Committee panel that held the hearing. He said in a prepared statement that the laws are part of a nationwide attack on the right to vote. Senator Bill Nelson of Florida says the changes, including a reduction in early voting hours, will make it more difficult for many in his state to cast ballots. Republican sponsors say the laws are needed to make the system more efficient and to reduce the possibility of voter fraud. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul is all but skipping Florida to focus on other states. This weekend, he's campaigning in Maine. At a town hall meeting at Colby College in Waterville, Paul renewed his criticism of federal spending.
We should start with overseas. That should be the easiest place in the world to cut the spending. All these wars going on is getting into trouble. We should be bringing these troops home and having the troops spend their money back here at home rather than in Japan and Korea.
Paul is due to hold another town hall meeting later this morning. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum is to host a fundraiser tonight in Washington, D.C. Internal emails released by the oil giant BP suggest managers recognized the potential of the Gulf oil spill in its early hours and that the company sought to keep the information internal. BP agreed to release the emails as part of court proceedings. Oil drilling off the shores of Cuba could begin as early as this weekend, about 60 miles south of Key West. U.S. officials are concerned a blowout could dump oil on Florida's beaches. Florida Public Radio's Tramiel Gomes reports.
Florida Congressman John Micah says when they planned the hearing Monday, they had no idea Cuba would be ready to drill as early as this weekend.
We are very concerned. The waters off of Cuba and between the Straits of Florida move much more rapidly and flow into the Gulf Stream. So we wouldn't have the containment that we believe that we would have, that we did see in the Gulf.
A state-of-the-art oil rig called the Scarabeo 9 could go online anytime this week. U.S. officials are scrambling to be a part of and establish a communications alert network with Cuba and other Caribbean nations in the event of a spill. For NPR News, I'm Tramiel Gomes in Tallahassee.
And in Washington, this is NPR News. An American oil worker kidnapped in Nigeria is free. NPR's Afebia Quist-Arkton reports a former hostage from Georgia spent a week in captivity.
The U.S. Embassy in Nigeria says 50-year-old William Gregory Ok was released after his abduction a week ago in the oil city of Warri in Delta State. Ok's sister tells the Associated Press the family has few details, other than that he's safe and in a secure location. It's not clear whether a ransom was paid for Ok's freedom. Many companies working in the mangrove swamps of Nigeria's sometimes restive oil region are covered by kidnap insurance. Often they agree on a negotiated fee to ensure their employees are released. It's believed Ok's kidnappers, who shot dead his Nigerian police escort, contacted the authorities demanding a ransom exceeding $300,000. Ofebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Kano.
At the Australian Open, the women's final has just wrapped up with Victoria Azarenka beating Maria Sharapova in straight sets. Federal regulators have closed four banks across the country but are stressing that the rate of failures is slowing. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation spokesman Greg Hernandez says the pace has been slowing since the peak in 2010 and that his agency believes the rate will continue to drop.
We saw that in 2011 with 92 failures compared to 157 in 2010, even though we've had seven failures in January 2012, the pace is much slower.
The banks closed this week include one in Minnesota and another in Florida. The two banks closed in Tennessee, the first in the state to fail since 2002. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.